Good morning, Symphony Church, and welcome to our morning devotional. Today's passage comes from 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 1 to 15. Verse 1. It was told Joab, "Behold, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom." So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people, for the people heard that day, "The king is grieving for his son." And the people stole into the city that day as people steal and who are ashamed when they flee in battle. The king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, "O my son Absalom! O Absalom, my son! My son!" Then Joab came into the house to the king and said, "You have today covered with shame the faces of all your servants, who have this day saved your life and the lives of your sons and your daughters and the lives of your wives and your concubines, because you love those who hate you and hate those who love you. For you made it clear today that commanders and servants are nothing to you. For today I know that if Absalom were alive and all of us were dead today, then you would be pleased. Now therefore arise, go out and speak kindly to your servants, for I swear by the Lord, if you do not go, not a man will stay with you this night, and this will be worse for you than all the evil that has come upon you from your youth until now." Then the king arose and took his seat in the gate, and the people were all told, "Behold, the king is sitting in the gate," and all the people came before the king. Now Israel had fled every man to his own home. And all the people were arguing throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king delivered us from the hand of our enemies and saved us from the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled out of the land from Absalom. But Absalom, who we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing the king back?" And King David sent this message to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. "Say to the elders of Judah, why should you be the last to bring the king back to his house when the word of all Israel has come to the king? You are my brothers, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then should you be the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if you are not commander of my army from now on in place of Joab." And he swayed the heart of all the men of Judah as one man, so that they sent word to the king, "Return, both you and all your servants." So the king came back to the Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to meet the king and to bring the king over the Jordan. Amen. All right, let's get caught up to speed to have a little bit of context for today's passage. Absalom drove his father, King David, out of the land as he had been leading a rebellion against him. In today's passage, we see King David mourning over the death of his son as the Israelites took over and won the battle against Absalom. Understandably so, he is grieving. Although his relationship with his son was estranged, it was his own flesh and blood after all. Yet King David was the anointed king by God, and Israel, the nation that he led, was God's nation. It is extremely heartbreaking that his own son chose to be on the enemy side, but King David was disproportionately mourning the loss of the enemy and failed to recognize the victory that God had given them. That's when we see Joab rebuke David, basically saying, "Hey, your grieving is bringing extreme shame upon your servants who risked their lives to save you. Why do you love those who hate you and hate those who love you? Now go out, gather your people, and claim your throne again." Man, that verse, verse 6, it gives me chills. You love those who hate you and hate those who love you. King David was unable to see God's victory in that battle because he was so consumed by Absalom. Although his example is extreme, we often do the same. We vie for the approval of the world. Whatever society says is valuable, we try our best to be that. Money, beauty, sex, power, reputation, security. These are things that our heart easily treasures, yet none of these things actually brings us true satisfaction. Sure, it may be nice for a while, but the enticing allure of what it can be ends up being a mere illusion that brings disappointment and discontentment. We lust after things that hate us. Yet, God has given us His Son, Jesus, to bring complete healing and restoration to our hearts again. He lavishes his love upon a sinful and faithless people over and over again. Yet we are so quick to forget he is there and often turn away. We love those who hate us and hate the one who loves us. I think in many ways, when God kills these idols, we too grieve like David. This past year, I experienced God killing my idol of being liked. I've always struggled with finding my value in what others thought of me. But when certain individuals made it clear that they had big problems with me, I felt myself grieving this part of myself. Looking back, I think like David, I also was disproportionately grieving and failed to see that God, the one that created me, the one that fully knows and loves me, was right there all along to fulfill every aching longing on my heart. Back to the passage. After Joab's rebuke, King David tried to go out but found a grumbling people who were reluctant to follow him after the death of Absalom, likely people that were part of the rebellion. The return of King David was near. There was a king again, yet so many were slow to accept him. I think this is very reminiscent of the coming of the Lord. When Jesus returns in his day, how will we respond? Will we too be caught up by the world that the news of Jesus leaves our ears and hearts with apathy and hesitancy? Or will we be ready with great expectancy that the true King has returned? So let's take some time today to reflect on those two areas. Number one, what worldly idol is blinding me from seeing God's victory in my life? In other words, what am I loving more than God? And number two, how will you meet the return of the King? In other words, how can we adjust our heart posture to be one of great expectancy and hope? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this word that in many ways is very challenging. I pray, God, that you would be with us today as we reflect on our lives, as we reflect on the things of the world that we love more than you, as we reflect on our spiritual blindness and our heart postures that are far too often geared towards the world and ourselves more than on you, Jesus. So I pray that in your loving kindness today that you would lead us back into repentance and that you would pour out your love upon your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.